And we are now live.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Lane Transit District Board of Directors, Monday, June 13th, 2022 Contract Committee meeting. We are reaching out to two board members who are not yet here to join us. So we'll be just sitting tight for a couple of minutes and see if we can get them online with us. Thank you.
I have reached out to both other committee members and I am still waiting on response.
So, Camille, these are time-sensitive contracts for the most part, aren't they? I guess Wendy and Kalina can answer that. You don't have to.
Yes.
No, that's okay. And I just heard back from Susan. She's actually attempting to get in and is having a technical difficulty. So I'm going to help her with that. And she will be here in just a moment.
Okay, great.
Everyone, sorry, I'm just a minute behind here. I'm just getting my nanny squared away. So did we call the meeting to order? Do we need to do that, Michelle? Looks like you're the only other board member.
Yes, we're waiting for you and Susan to join us so we can get this party started.
All right. And did we hear from Susan yet?
Yeah, Camille's trying to help her get on. She's having some technical issues.
Okay, no problem. Oh, there we go. Perfect. Well, I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting to order for the contract committee at 4:04, and we'll go ahead and do roll call, and then we'll jump into our agenda. So, Michelle?
Here.
And Susan?
I'm here. Thank you.
I'm here as well. All right. And I'm sorry, I'm just getting acclimated here. Does anybody have their agenda in front of them and want to call out the first agenda item for me?
Comments from the chair would be the first agenda item.
All right. Well, the only comments I have is that I'm going to be ending my term with LTD at the end of the month. And so I'll need to have a replacement chair. Most of the time we wait until the board appoints the next replacement member of the contract committee. But I assume that either Michelle or Susan, I would recommend one of you to take that chair role if you're able. Person's not coming in brand new. Otherwise, I don't have any additional comments. Does Michelle, Susan, anybody else want to add anything at the moment?
I don't have anything to add.
We'll miss you.
Thank you. It was tough, but I just thought with the timing, it just made the most sense to do it sooner than later for the sake of a new board member. So yeah, sometimes life just happens, I guess. Let's see. And Michelle, do you have your agenda in front of you? Do you want to read off the next item? Sorry, my computer's really slow.
That's okay. Next agenda item would be items for action.
I don't think we have anything for this committee at this time.
Okay, so then we can move into items for board recommendation. And the first is contract number 2022-01-ESM for Pivot Architecture.
And Todd, are you going to be presenting for that? And Sarah?
Yes.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us tonight.
All right. Thank you. Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Todd Smith, Project Manager in Facilities. This afternoon, we're recommending two contracts for A&E services, one for the Eugene Station Modernization Project and the other for the Operation Command Center Project. Both of these projects are an approved community investment plan. And I want to review a few events that we've had so far on these projects. First, Sarah and I provided a presentation to the board in March of the construction manager general contractor project delivery method for these two projects, and the board approved the use of that in April. We are now in the next phase of each of these projects, which is the contract for A&E services, architectural and engineering services, to kick off the design process. The first recommended contract is for architectural and engineering services to Pivot Architecture for the Eugene Station Modernization Project over the next 2 years. In this contract, Pivot Architecture will perform the standard professional design services in connection with the Eugene Station Modernization Project, including collaboration with both the district staff and the construction manager general contractor. The architect will provide program confirmation, schematic design, design development, construction documents, bid package assistance, permitting, construction administration, project closeout and warranty inspection for all aspects of the project. This contract for the ESM, we're calling it, project is went out to competitive solicitation for A&E services in the form of a request for qualifications, including statements of qualifications and technical proposals from interested architectural firms. This solicitation was posted for approximately 4 weeks. The RFP resulted in two proposals, Merriam Barnes and Associate and Pivot Architects and Pivot Architecture. The evaluation committee scored the statements of qualification and technical proposals. Upon review of the scores, the top-ranked firms for the projects were invited to present further and interview with their proposed team. The presentation interviews confirmed the ranking set forth in the first round of evaluations by the evaluation committee. The most responsible, responsive, high-scored firm recommended for award on the ESM project is Pivot Architecture. In addition to their proposal response, Pivot and their partners, their subconsultants, identified an overall target of 1.5% DBE firms and 7% of WBE firms. The Pivot team also proposed the idea of an internship or engagement of a person with disability to bring input to the accessibility portion of the design. This contract value for architectural and engineering services for the Eugene Station Modernization Project is $600,000. The project is funded from the Bus and Bus Facility Grant, which is 80% federal and 20% local match. As the contract and the associated project work for the contract is in alignment with all the areas of strategic focus, community value, customer service, employee engagement, financial health, and sustainability. So the alternatives to approving this contract is you could, one, deny the approval of the new contract and request the team to resolicit this. This would result in delaying A&E services per the project schedule and potentially additional costs due to the current construction cost escalation conditions we're experiencing out there. Second, you could deny approval of this contract and request the team to negotiate further with the selected firm. This may result in a delay also to the project schedule and potential cost implications. Are there any questions on this first contract?
Michelle, do you have anything that you'd like to ask?
I don't have any questions, no.
Okay, Susan?
I'm curious to know if you think this is going to be as scheduled or will supply chain impact this project at all?
Yeah, that's a good question. As far as the design process, it shouldn't delay our design process. We did it going through using a construction manager, general contractor will help us avert some of those supply chain issues, but there's no guarantee with that. We certainly could fall into some conditions where some materials are much harder to get than others. So, but we're planning for that in early procurement processes with the A&E team and whoever the CMGC will be.
Is there potential that the cost will increase just based on what cost is happening now, inflation and so on?
Yeah, we're projecting at this point 1.5% per quarter increase. And that's what we've included within the project budget. And that's to the midpoint in construction is the best we can do at this point. We do have contingency as well, but it's certainly we want to try to manage it with that cost escalation amount.
Sure. Thank you. I realize what I'm asking is a crystal ball that none of us really know, but thank you.
Yeah, certainly. So are there any other questions?
Yeah, Todd, I just had one. I noticed that the next item on the agenda is also related to pivot architecture. And I just wanted to make sure that we are able to vote on each of these separately and that neither will affect the other bid.
That is correct. I can go into the next one if you want, but they are two separate contracts. They were just solicited in one RFP.
Yeah, I think it would be helpful to go through the other one and then do both proposals afterwards, if that's comfortable, Michelle and Susan, with both of you. Are you guys okay with that? Okay, perfect. Yeah, Todd, if you would proceed, that'd be wonderful. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So the second contract is, again, for architectural and engineering services, and it is to pivot architecture as well for the Operation Command Center, and that project with those architects would be over the next 3 years. And this project is also within that approved community investment plan. In this contract, Pivot Architecture will perform the standard design services in connection with the Operation Command Center, including collaboration with the district and construction general manager, and going through all those design phases that I mentioned in the previous contract or the previous the ESM project. This contract for the OCC went out to competitive solicitation seeking A&E services in the form of a request for qualifications, including statement of qualifications and technical proposals from interested architectural firms. The RFQ posted for approximately 4 weeks and resulted in the receipt of one proposal from Pivot Architecture. The evaluation committee, comprised of LTD staff, reviewed the scores and the statement of qualifications, their technical proposals, and upon review of the team's combined scores, the firm ranked top of the score range, an excellent ranking for a project, for this project. And Pivot was invited to present further an interview with their proposed team. The evaluation committee proceeded with the presentation interviews, which confirmed the ranking set forth, and that excellent ranking was validated in the evaluations. The most responsive, highest scored vendor recommended for award for the Operation Command Center project is Pivot Architecture. Additionally, in their proposal for the Operation Command Center, their partner subconsultants identified an overall target of 6.8% DBE firms and 4% WBE firms. These opportunities spanned a variety of subconsultant areas: civil engineers, landscape architects, environmental surveys, acoustical treatments, and audiovisual support. This contract value for architectural and engineering services for the Operation Command Center is for $1.3 million, and the project is funded from the Bus and Bus Facility Grant, 80% federal, 20% local match. And within the strategic business plan, it's aligned with all the areas of focus, the five areas: community value, customer satisfaction, employee engagement, financial health, and sustainability. Again, alternatives to the approving this is to deny approval of the new contract and request to resolicit. This would result in delaying design services per the construction project schedule and potentially incur additional costs due to the current conditions. And secondly, option would be to deny the contract and request the team to renegotiate further with the selected firm, and that also may result in delay to project schedule and potential cost implications. Are there any questions on this contract?
Susan, Michelle? Todd, will you just remind us, will these projects overlap one another, or is there any type of cost savings or efficiencies because we're doing them together by chance?
We are doing them concurrently, and one will, the Union Station modernization will finish before the Operation Command Center because it's a much smaller project. They are two separate teams that are proposed, so there shouldn't be any overlap with the design teams, and but you know, we do have some overlap with our LTD staff. So we'll be, and you know, it's going to, it, we'll have a lot of people involved in these two projects. So,
yeah. Thank you.
You bet. And
Kristen, can we do both of the contracts in one proposal, or do they need to be two separate proposals?
I mean, legally, you could make a recommendation for both of them in one. I don't know if that messes with the format of what you're recommending to the board. So I don't know if kind of procedurally Camille has a preference, but as long as you make the recommendation for both, it's legally fine.
Okay, sounds good. Michelle or Susan, would either of you like to make a motion with one or both of those contracts?
Do we want Camille to weigh in on a preference?
It's fine to do it in one motion.
Okay.
On the board, they're on the consent calendar. So that's fine, thank you.
Okay, thank you. I move to forward contract number 2022-01-ESM and contract number 2022-01-OCC to the Board of Directors with a recommendation for approval.
I'll second that. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, then we'll go do a roll call vote. So Susan?
Aye.
Michelle?
Yes.
Emily, I say aye. So that vote passes and we'll be able to move on to the next item. So thank you, Todd and Sarah, for joining us and for all of the information on the agenda item summary and your presentation tonight.
Thank you.
All right, and then we have our next contract here, and I see Matt getting prepared, so we'll give him just a moment to get settled, and Matt, whenever you're ready, you can take it away.
Yeah, thank you very much, and Emily, congratulations as you get a set sail to on the next adventure. Super excited for you and the family. So yes, I get to present our cutaway purchase. It's a contract through Shetke. So in my virtual background, you see what this is. We call it a cutaway, but that's the vehicle we're really talking about to kind of get our minds framed what we're talking about here in this contract. But as noted in the AIS, we're talking about up to 30 of these beauties behind me and upwards of the total contract value of, I think, $3.7 million thereabouts. So what we're doing and how we procured this is really partnering with State of Washington to do a procurement that way. So we'll piggyback off of theirs. Historically, our last purchase of the cutaways, we did this as well. It's proven to be beneficial for staff time to not have to go out for our own independent procurement, as well as really partner with the larger quantity of vehicles to get that price down. So we chose and selected that as a procurement type. But as far as, and really backing out, what we do, and everyone knows our mission, right? Connecting our community. For our accessible service, we need vehicles to connect our community, and that's what we're doing. So in our strategic business plan, the kind of three that we highlighted is having newer vehicles that are really well-functioning, obviously deals with customer satisfaction, obviously community value, and financial health. As many of you guys may know, the older vehicles sometimes take a lot more maintenance costs to maintain. So having that cycle and going through that is important for LTD to continue to drive down our operational costs. So talked about background, just to give a highlight again, the last purchase we did back in 2020, some of you may have been involved, where we did use the State of Washington contract, and that contract proved to be very successful for us, and they've been in service just over a year. Last kind of thing that I'd like to highlight, financial impact. So LTD consistently goes after grants. We have many grants that are funding this project. As you kind of see, I think we noted 5+, and we're through this also going after more, just to take away and go after discretionary funds. So with that, the alternatives really, we can reduce the overall quantity. We identified 30 as noted. Just to reduce what we want, I would suggest staff would not recommend that, as it gives us the opportunity to purchase and get newer vehicles in. And then the other one is, and with that, reducing the quantity, we would have to connect with some of our local state partners, just to give them a heads up with what we're doing. And then the other one is to postpone the purchase of these vehicles. Again, that is an option as we're looking, but again, since we have grants already identified for these, we'd have to update our partners with as well. So with that, I would love to take any questions.
I have a question. You mentioned the grant funding that's anticipated. Where's LTD in that process of securing approval or the funding?
Most of the one identified, we actually have. Right now. So we're in a good spot. Some of them have timelines. And one of the things with supply issues, as you can imagine, is when will these vehicles get here? That's one of the things that we'll continue to update our partners on once we get approval. You guys know, and with the vehicle automotive, it's tough. It's tough to get vehicles here. So the sooner we get in front of our partners, the better for us. But yeah, the funding is secured for the first initial order. Thanks.
Thank you.
Michelle, do you have anything?
I don't.
Matt, I was just going to say one part of the presentation that might be helpful. I guess you don't really need to do it because it's in the consent calendar, but just in case it comes up, be helpful to know how many of the vehicles are past their useful life that we would be replacing versus what would be adding to the fleet?
Great question. So 26 are beyond their useful life right now. And when we get that, add another year or so onto that, you're going to see more of those. So right now, our average age for our accessible service vehicles is about over 9 years. And as I noted in the presentation, 7 years is the expected useful life. Of those that are beyond, let me look at my, beyond their useful life, and the average age is 11.95 years.
So it's safe to say that when we procure new vehicles, we can take good care of them and make them last longer than expected, but that we do start getting into this dangerous game of how long will they last.
That is a great way to use it. Yes.
Excellent. Sounds good. Does anybody have any other questions? No? Okay. Sounds good. And thanks for identifying all the grant dollars and where the funding was going to come from. That's always helpful to see. I think Susan had to jump off for a moment, so hopefully we'll be able to do a motion and get it approved or not, depending on if Susan's available. But Michelle, are you comfortable making the motion?
Yep. I move to forward contract number 2022-22 to the Board of Directors with a recommendation for approval.
I'll second.
Perfect. And any discussion? Covered it all. Okay. Well, then I'll do a roll call vote. Michelle?
Yes.
Susan?
Aye.
Emily?
Aye.
And so the motion passes and we're good to go. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate your time. It's nice when these are fairly straightforward so we can say, yep, that seems reasonable. Okay. So we're on to our next contract item for the Township United Building Services and... Oh, there's Sunny. Okay, so we'll turn that over whenever they're ready.
All right, I'm ready. Thank you for having me today. I'm Sunny Melhorn, the Service Specialist for Facilities Management. These contracts before you are for professional janitorial services for all LTD operational properties. There's a great variety of skills and equipment needed to execute the cleaning of transit facilities. This ranges from office spaces, public restrooms, neighborhood stations, and bus stops. In our past cleaning contracts, we separated out scopes of cleaning by location. These new contracts are separated into two specialties of cleaning, indoor and outdoor cleaning. This method of separating the contracts allowed for the inclusion of companies specializing in either outdoor or indoor tasks to participate in the procurement process. The ultimate result was selecting two quality contractors. This will give LTD the best value, expertise, and equipment to perform the tasks needed to deliver a safe, clean, inviting environment to our employees, customers, and community. The new scopes of work was used to develop and perform a request for proposal to seek the most qualified janitorial contractors. The proposal had three responses. Selected in this process were Township United Building Services Incorporated for indoor cleaning and Memphis Elite Janitorial Services for outdoor cleaning. These new contracts will have 2-year base terms and 3 option years for a maximum contract term of 5 years. Township United Building Services Incorporated has a 5-year total for $1,287,721. Memphis Elite Janitorial Services will have a 5-year total of $2,416,445. The yearly cost for all cleaning services starts at $614,742 with a 5-year total of $3,704,166. The cost for these services are operational and budgeted annually in the general fund. With an increase of labor and product costs in our community, we anticipated that this new contract value would be an increase from the previous 5-year contract executed in 2017. We have some good news that there will be no cost increases for cleaning in these proposed contracts. We attribute this result to splitting up indoor and outdoor cleaning, allowing improved participation in the request for proposal, and improving efficiency in our MX cleaning schedule. If the board opts not to approve this contract, an option would be to resolicit for this work. Contracted cleaning services has proven to be an effective way to maintain LTD's facilities at all locations. I ask that you please forward to the Board of Directors a recommendation for approval to execute these contracts with Township United Building Services, Inc. and Memphis Elite Janitorial Services. These contracts are to satisfy the needs for cleaning services for all LTD properties. Again, thank you for having me today, and please let me know if you have any questions.
Great, thank you, Sunny. You answered all of my questions in your presentation. So Susan, do you have anything, or Michelle, do you have anything?
I do have a question. Obviously the world has changed since 2017. I'm just curious to know what sort of increased protection and requirements are there because of COVID?
Well, as far as the scope of work for cleaning, we really have, really in the scope originally, we have disinfecting, touch surfaces. So really that was, that's still in there. We did increase a lot of cleaning during COVID where we had to. We had standards we had to meet for OSHA, and it was almost an unsustainable level. But we actually came to the board and that had to get more funding. So yeah, we're still doing all those things, but that's already set in place.
So I'm sorry. So the increase in activity is included in this?
Yes. Well, there's no increase for we have a standard. We're trying to. That we just maintain cleaning all surfaces, and it's what meets the requirements for touch surfaces and all things like that. But we don't have separate scope for dealing with COVID, if that's what you're asking.
Sunny, if I can jump in for you real quick. Susan, so in every contract we have the force majeure clause. And so that allows us, if there's an act of God, which we considered the virus, was what we were able to make amendments to the contract based on that. And so we have that in place. So if we need it, we can call upon that and then ask them to change their schedule duration, cleaning contacts. And that's what happened last time and why we had to come back. I might have been right before you joined us, but we did go back to the board to ask for more money for that contract because it did put it over the contract value. So it's not always spelled out in that scope, but we always have a clause in there that allows us to add or subtract to a scope because of any act of God that could happen to cause that.
Thanks for taking the time to explain that.
Sure. Thank you.
Really good question. Thanks for asking that, Susan. Michelle, anything you want to ask?
Nope. I'm good. Thank you.
Sounds good. And then just as a reminder, we do always have the option, or we always put in our contracts that we can cancel at any time, or we go out for bid again. So just as a heads up, if these numbers are a little bit, you know, large because they're a 5-year window, there is that opt-out clause.
I know, Mama. No.
Yes, there is. All right. Well, I don't see any other questions. So if anybody's ready to make a motion or discuss further, go ahead.
I move to forward contract number 2021-66-TU and contract number 2021-66-NE to the Board of Directors with a recommendation for approval.
Second.
Perfect. Any discussion? No, seeing none, we'll do a roll call vote. Hopefully Abe won't interrupt too much. Apologies. Susan, how do you vote?
Aye.
Michelle?
Yes.
Emily?
Aye.
And the motion passes. So we'll go ahead and take care of both of those agenda items at the same time. So Camille, I don't know if you need to note that, but we are moving right along. 1 second, I'll move my agenda forward. All right, looks like we are coming closer to the end of our list. We just have items for action, and Camille, looks like you might be heading that up, so I'll let you jump in. Okay. Or if anybody wants to add anything additional for action items or information at a future meeting. I think we're okay. So I'll just shoot Camille a quick email after this, just as a reminder for making sure we get a replacement appointment. for this committee, and then a conversation about voting for a chair, just to make sure that's covered. And really glad he's playing with a truck right now. It's appropriate for transit. All right, I don't see anything else. Are there any questions on that agenda item summary as far as what's on the docket? Nothing in July, and then August will be the next listed meeting. Okay, well, unless anybody has anything else that we want to add, I think we're going to wrap up.
Emily, I'd just like to say thank you for your service on this committee, too. You've done a great job, so appreciate the good questions and, you know, holding us accountable, so thanks.
Yes, of course. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, everybody that adds to this group, and it's always interesting conversation, so thank you, everyone. Really appreciate it. All right, well, enjoy the rest of your evening. Thank you. And we'll adjourn the meeting. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Say bye. This is your last chance. Bye. Bye, guys. Thanks, Mark.